Okay, so we're starting off the series on the original intent. I'll be doing the first session, and I want to focus on the issue of creation. So why did God create us? Why did God create us? Think about it. There was nothing, and then God created everything. Why? Was God bored? Did he create it for something specific? Why did he create everything? So I'm going to attempt to answer that question this morning. Now, the issue of, before we get into answering the question, just to build a foundation, the issue of perspective. In this picture, someone's painted a number on the road, let's say. The guy on the left says it's a 6. The guy on the right says it's a 9. Who's right? Guy on the left is convinced that's a 6. Guy on the right is convinced, no, that's a 9. Who's correct? Now, you see, one could argue that, you know, it's subjective, it's a matter of perspective, they're standing in different places, so both of their opinions are valid. However, the guy who painted that, he intended that it was either a 6, or he intended that it was either a 9. So in order for us to get to the truth of this matter, we need to understand the intention of the one who painted it. Correct? Amen. It's exactly the same when it comes to spiritual things. There's all these, you know, different topics in the Bible and doctrines and practices. We can look at it from many different angles. But if we are to truly understand anything spiritual, we have to understand the intent of God in establishing that truth or that principle or that practice. So this morning is about getting our perspective right. It's about getting into the intention of God. And intention is so important because we can chat a lot about the what. You know, the things we must do, we must give, we must forgive, we must be merciful. All these spiritual things. We can speak about all the what things that we need to do. But our what will never be effective if we don't understand the why we need to do it. Because asking the question why is beautiful, because in asking the question why, we get to understand the intention of something. And then we won't be fighting, is it a 6 or is it a 9? We'll get straight to the truth once we understand the intention. And that's the purpose of this series. What is the intention of God? Each of us, or most of us, I would say, have a certain reference point upon which we understand our faith. We all have a view of God, and we all have a view of our faith that shapes how we build everything else about our faith. So if you look at this line, we've got 5 points. Now, we're all at different places in our journey on how we perceive God. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you look at the one on the end there, our experience. So for some, we base our entire view of our faith and our walk in God is based off things that we've experienced from God. For example, a testimony. Let's say God healed you from something. And going into every, as we, you know, look at different topics and themes of the Bible and adding things to our faith, that is the lens through which you view everything. You know, my biggest interaction with God is that I've experienced something with Him. My testimony. And that's a reference point for some. The next one we have is the cross. So for some, our key reference point for our faith is Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That includes that. So I understand Jesus died on the cross, and now I'm having experiences in my faith. So for some, the cross is the primary reference point from which we view our faith. If we take it one step back, the fall. So we know God created Adam and Eve, and they chose to disobey Him. So we call that the fall of man. Man chose to disobey God. So for some, Our reference point to our faith is that man first disobeyed God. That's why Jesus needed to die on the cross, so that we can experience life in Christ. Okay, so whatever's to the left includes everything else to the right of it. So for some, it's the primary reference point is the fall. We can take it a step back. The Adamic mandate. That is simply when God created Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply. He gave him, subdue the earth. He gave him an encouragement, a list of things that he is to do, a mandate. So for some, the reference point is, I've been created by God to rule on the earth, to bear his image, to be fruitful and multiply. Then there was a fall. Jesus died on the cross to reconnect us with God, and now we have experiences. This yellow dot, that's the one I want to focus on today. The original intent of God. That is simply, before God created man, before God gave this covenant to Adam that he must be fruitful and multiply, there was a plan in place. There was an idea. There was an intention for God to start this whole process. And I feel that we should all be heading towards this yellow dot. That should be the primary reference point of our faith. Not what we experience in God, not what God did to reconnect us with him, not the fall of Adam, not the covenant made with Adam, but the original intent. And yes, having this original intent perspective doesn't mean we're excluding the others. It includes the others. It's just that our main reference point for understanding our faith needs to be that God created us for something specific before any of these took place. Amen?
Amen.
Are we all together?
Yes.
Okay. That's the introduction. Let's get into answering the question, why did God create us? So with that in mind, in answering the question, why did God create us, we are building this mindset. So we're working on the yellow dot. God created everything. John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Quite straightforward. God made everything. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that is created, both visible, the things that we can see on the earth, and invisible, heaven, the angels, and all of that, everything was created by God. There is absolutely nothing that exists outside of the creation of God. Everything created comes from God. Everything, okay? So the account in Genesis, just a brief overview, God created the world in 6 days. They weren't 24-hour periods. Because we get our time from the earth's rotation and the sun. That whole system, years, months, the way we measure time, that was only created on day 4. The way we measure time. So this is not talking about 24-hour periods of time. A day is a pocket of time. In 6 pockets, God created everything. So on day 1, the Bible says he created light. Day 2, the heavens. Day 3, the earth. Day 4, sun, moon, and stars. Day 5, sea animals and birds. Day 6, land animals. And lastly, man. So God created all of these things. And right at the end, we have man. Now, Romans 11:36 starts to answer the question, why did he do all of that? Why? In the Amplified, it says, for from him all things originate, and through him all things live and exist, and to him are all things directed. To him be glory and honor forever. Amen. The same verse in the New Living Translation says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. So what this is saying, everything comes from God, so the origination of everything is God. Through Him, all things live and exist. So that means what God created is sustained by God and the systems that He has put in place. So God put a system in place that if you put a seed in the ground, it will bear a tree which will bear fruit. So everything in creation is sustained by God and the systems He's put in creation. And then it says, and to Him are all things directed, to Him be glory. So everything that He created is designed to bring glory to Him. So we'll unpack that more. So everyone say, from Him, through Him, to Him. Everything comes from Him. Everything is sustained through Him. And all the glory goes to Him. Okay. That's an overview of why, of the fact that God created everything. So how do we fit into this as human beings? God created everything from Him, through Him, to Him. How can this apply to us? Our origin is God. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now the word knew there is not so much I knew about you. It's I was intimately involved with you. This is the same word knew that was used where it says, Adam knew Eve and they had a son. That same word knew. So it's not just, God knew about us. It's God was experientially engaged with us before you were in the womb. We just don't remember it. Before you were born, you existed in God. Our origin is God. Ephesians 1 verse 4, it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So before God created anything, we were in God. And that's important to understand because then, you know, when God created Adam, it doesn't say God created Adam. It says God formed Adam, and then He breathed into him. So He took what was in him, which was us, and He breathed it into a shell, our bodies. So the point here is simply, we existed in God before anything was created. We were in God. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So this is when we die. So it's saying, when we die, dust, our bodies return to the earth, it decays, and our spirits will return to God who gave it. You can only return something somewhere if it was there in the first place. So this is confirming the previous two scriptures that when it's saying when we die, our spirit returns to God, meaning it was in God to begin with. Amen. Say, my origin is in God. That's where we started out. You did not start to exist at the point of conception. At the point of conception, that was when your body started to be formed. Your spirit is from God, and you existed in God. I want to ask a question, another question. If we were in God before everything, why then did God choose to bring us out? We were chilling liquor. Why did God choose to take us out of Himself if we were already in Him? He's taken us out and, you know, now we have fellowship with Him on this side of the visible curtain. But why? I'm going to play a very short sound clip from William Hinn. And he's asking the question, why?
How many of you believe you came from God? Come on. Chosen in Him before the foundation. So I said to the Lord, now wait a minute, God. If I came from You, Wouldn't it have been better? I mean, why bring me out? If I'm already in, why bring me out? Bring me down here so I can get a job. Buy food, eat the food, get rid of the food so I can go to work some more. And then maybe 50-50 chance at best of making it back. Have to fight a devil, go to church. Come on now. You got to deal with all of your frustrations and flesh. Hope to God you make it back to heaven when you came from heaven. So God, wouldn't it have been easier for you and certainly for me if you had just left me alone? Why bring me out to bring me back in? There's got to be a plan.
Say, there's got to be a plan. Why did God bring us out just so that He can bring us back into Him? Why? Do you want to know the answer? Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, just as He, God, chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let's just focus on the first part. He chose us in Him that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So He chose us in Him, but He wanted us to be before Him. That's the first point. We were in God. He brought us out that we could be before Him in love. We'll explore that being before Him a bit more. Why does He want us? How does He want us to be before Him? How does He want us to exist? If we were in Him, it says, predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. So God wanted us to exist as a son before Him. That's why in sending Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus was sent, yes, to die for take the sacrifice for our sins, but also He came to show us what it's like to live like a son of God, because that was the original intent. We were in God, and son, male and female, all included. You were in God. He took us out of Himself and said, I want you positioned before Me as a son to a father. Romans 8:29, for those whom He foreknew, say foreknew. Foreknew means before creation. He's speaking about our existence in Him before time. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined. Predestined, His intent. He predetermined the destination. Predestined. He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. So for those who were in God before the foundation of the world, it was God's predestined intent that we be conformed to the image of the Son. So marry these two scriptures together. He predestined us to the adoption as sons. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Both of these scriptures are speaking about God's intent for creating man. He took us out of Himself to be before Him as a son, so that He, Christ, would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now this word among, I believe, is an incorrect translation. The Greek word is en, E-N, for the word among. It's the same Greek word used for this in Ephesians 1. He chose us in Him. En Him. So He chose us in Him. So this verse could also read, so that Christ would be the firstborn in many brethren. Jesus Christ was sent as the firstborn Son of God to the earth. And it was ordained by God that we come up to that same level of sonship that He demonstrated while He was on in the earth. There's much we could say about that, but time. Genesis 1:26, when God created man, He says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Keep in mind now, as we're going on, let's do a quick midpoint summary. Everything was created by God. Amen. In his creation, he brought us out from himself. We existed in God before creation, he brought us out. How we are ordained to exist before him is as a son to a father. And part of that sonship is us being conformed to Jesus Christ, the pattern son. So this is when God created man, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Image and likeness, this is not talking about physical attributes of God. This is not saying that God has two hands and two feet and a body. So now I'm going to make man to physically look like me. Image and likeness have to do with quality of character. The essence of his being. His nature. So when God says I'm creating man in my image and likeness, it's not two hands, two feet, 10 fingers, 10 toes. It's he must carry my image, my likeness. So we were created to represent God. God is invisible, unseen. We've been created in this visible world to project his image, to project his likeness, to project his nature, to project his character. How do we do that? As a son before a father. That's what we've been created to do. Okay, we read the first part. Okay, we were chosen in him. Just focus on verse 6. Why were we brought out? It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So whenever we put God's nature on display, quite simply, we are putting his glory on display. We cannot have an Old Testament understanding of glory. Glory is not some cloud that fills a temple. One of the definitions of the New Testament word for glory is the recognition of a reputation. So if I'm in a situation, say at work, and someone messes my name, drags me through the mud, and then I say, you know what? I forgive you. I just put God's glory on display. Why? Glory is the recognition of a reputation. So I'm putting God's reputation, I'm living it out, that he's a forgiving God. So when we say we are here to reflect God's glory, it's not to become clouds and make the air thick. It's to say, I'm putting on his nature on display. Of Jesus, John writes, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. What they saw in Jesus was a son putting his heavenly Father on display. Okay, there's many things we could say about glory, but now's not the time. So we've been created to put God's glory on display. That's simply putting on his nature. Now, I'd like to draw an analogy. We're still answering the question, why did God bring us out? I have a five-month-old son, Levi. He was 9 months in the womb. Now, when he was in the womb, we were all very excited. No, there's something on the inside. So we could say it, me and Lauren are married, so I refer to me and Lauren as one entity, because one flesh. So Levi was inside us while Lauren was carrying him. That's his first ultrasound. From the moment we knew we were pregnant, it's amazing, you already love the child. There's suddenly, this thing wasn't here, now it's here, and this is you that's about to come out. You love the child. But it's no parent's desire that they love the child and the child stays in them. They want the child to be before them. When Levi was in the womb, we loved him. But after 8 months, we were tired. We're like, this lady must come out. The same with us in God. While Levi was in the womb, I couldn't hug him. I couldn't kiss him. I couldn't demonstrate my love to him. He had to come out so that now I can carry him. I can put him to sleep. I can read him bedtime stories. I can have a fellowship with him. The same with us and God. We were in God, but there's only so much that can happen because love has to be bestowed upon another. So, God took us out of himself so that we can become the object of his love. And as we receive that love, we reflect that love, putting his nature on display. For God is love. The original intent is nice, eh? We're getting to our origin. We were in God. He brought us out. But now, when a child is born, they leave an environment of comfort, an environment of safety, and all of a sudden they have to contend with the real world. They get cold. They didn't have that problem in the womb. Now all of a sudden they can feel the cold. They have to cry when they're hungry. They didn't have that problem in the womb. They have to contend with airborne sicknesses and viruses. They didn't have that problem in the womb. So when a child is born, it seems like a downgrade of environment for the child. All of a sudden you are chilling in the womb, and now you have to contend with all these issues on the earth. Similar to our story, we are born into this world where there's so much evil and unrest and uncertainty. But we have to learn how to depend on the one that brought us out. The same way Levi knows he can lift up his hands and one of us will pick him up. We were brought out into a hostile environment, this earth. But even though we are now before God, we are still connected to God. When in God bringing us out, he's not like you there, now I'm here. No, he's still connected with us, having this intimate relationship. And we have to learn things. Levi scratched himself again this week on his face. He still needs to learn how to have dominion over his hands. That's something he's learning. And the more he scratches himself, the more he'll realize, okay, I can't just do this to my face. The same with us. Our life in Christ is baby steps. We learn about our identity. We learn about our dominion. Yes, we may scratch ourselves along the way and make mistakes, but it's all to an end goal. We're on a journey. We're learning. Amen. So we are to be before God. This is the transition. We were in God. Now we are before him, but still in him. We're still connected to him. In God creating everything. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, let the earth sprout vegetation. Verse 20, let the waters teem with living creatures. Verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Whenever God created something, he spoke to the environment that would sustain the thing. So, in God creating vegetation, what did he speak to? The earth, the soil. Because the soil is the environment that will sustain the vegetation. When God created the fish, he spoke to the water. Because the water is the environment that would sustain the fish. When God created the living creatures, he spoke to the earth, because the plants of the earth would sustain the living creatures. When God brought us out, who did he speak to? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. God spoke to himself, because he is the environment that sustains us. Everything God created, there's the thing and there's the environment that sustains the thing. Our environment of sustenance is God himself. Yes. He did not bring us out to struggle. He brought us out so that we can be before Him, the object of His love. But while we are in the state of being before Him, we are also in a state of, in Him I live, in Him I move, in Him I have my being, while being before Him. So we were in Him, now we before Him, but still in Him. Because we still live, move, and have our being in God. Because He is the environment of our sustenance, of our livelihood. Okay, finally, I'm going to ask another question. So we've answered the question, why God brought us out, why He created everything. But the Bible says that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything that has happened, is happening, and is going to happen. So, question. If God is all-knowing, surely He knew that man would choose to disconnect from Him. Surely He knew that by creating man, man would rebel against Him. So why did God go ahead? Remember the original intent? God wanted man to put His nature on display. So why would God go ahead with creating man if man, the first man, would walk away from that original intent? God is all-knowing. So why go ahead with the process? Why create something when you know that thing is going to walk away from you and disobey you? This is why. God knew that man would disconnect from Him. So before even creating anything, God made a plan to redeem man to that purpose. So God was like, okay, I'm going to create this man. They're going to walk away from me. But before I even create them, I'm going to have this plan of redemption, the cross, to bring them back to that plan. Revelation 13:8 says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, the Lamb slain is referring to Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. But it says here, before the foundation of the world. So before 2,000 odd years ago, Jesus died on the cross, on the earth. In God's mind, it was something already prepared before creation. The cross was not kind of an afterthought where Jesus was looking at the earth and saying, hey, humans are getting quite hectic, let me send my son to die for them. Before anything, before creation, God made a plan for us to be reconnected to Him, to that purpose. But still, why? Now God has to give up His son and the cross, it's gruesome. It seems like the long way around. God so valued the purpose of being represented by man that He elected to give Himself to redeem man. I'm going to say that again. God so valued the purpose of being represented by man that He elected to give Himself to redeem man. Let's read it again. God so valued the purpose for being the purpose of being represented by man that He elected to give Himself up to redeem man. God went ahead with paying the price because of the value that He placed on being represented by us. So with that, we see that God did not create man to save man. Remember the reference points? We had the cross in the middle. That's not the purpose of everything. So God did not create us so that He can save us. He created us knowing that He would have to save us. But there's a greater purpose. Yes. So all what the cross does, we're on this plan of God, man disconnected. The cross simply takes us, plugs us in back to that plan. And we're continuing with the plan. I must say this very carefully. I place great value on the cross. It was a great sacrifice on God's part. It was the greatest demonstration of love ever. With that said, the cross cannot be our primary reference point for how we view our existence. Because what the cross does is it reconnects us to the original intent. Therefore, we need to see the cross as one of the pit stops on this journey. It's the most important, yes, because it reconnects us back to God. But once reconnected, let's get on with the original intent. In analogy, if I send Levi to the shop when he's older, and I say, here's 10 rand, go buy bread. Well, that would work 10 years ago. Here's 20 rand, go and buy bread. And let's say Levi's on his way to the shop. As he's about to enter the door of the shop, he drops the money and he loses it. And then someone comes along and says, you know what? Your purpose was to go buy the milk. Here's 20 rand. I know you lost your money. Here's your money. I'm reconnecting you to your purpose. Now, if Levi stands at the shop door and he's like, wow, 20 rand. 1 hour later, he's still standing at the shop door. Wow, 20 rand. The next day, he's still there. Wow, 20 rand. Sadly, that is the reality for many Christians. Wow, the cross. Wow, the thing that plugs me back to the original purpose. But we camp at the cross, and we cannot afford to camp at the cross. The cross was to plug us in, to take the cross gives us back the 20 rand. Now we need to open the door and walk into the shop to buy the milk. Yeah. The purpose is not the 20 rand. The purpose is the milk. Yeah. 20 rand is the means for us to get the milk. The cross is the means to an end. The cross is not the end within itself. So it's not about going back to the cross and kneeling at the cross. No. Once the cross has done its work, take your 20 rand and go into the shop. And then you choose full cream, low fat. Now, I'm gonna emphasize this. I am not downplaying the importance of the cross. Not at all. I have the highest respect for the sacrifice. My point is simply this. The cross is not the end. It reconnects us so that we can make it to the end. And that end is the original intent of God putting his nature on display. Amen. If you look at Hebrews 1:3, this summarizes Jesus. Now, Jesus is not just our Savior, but he's also our example. Okay? It says, Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. So as God's sons, we are to put on his image. Jesus was the express image as a son who was in and now before. And we touched on this a few weeks ago, but I just want to mention it. Because I'm speaking about creation and we haven't spoken about angels. Just quickly. Angels are designed to serve mankind in mankind's endeavor to put God's image on display. This is what it says about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We are the heirs of salvation. So God created the angels and the angelic realm to simply come alongside humanity and help us in times of need. When we are struggling to put God's nature on display, God sends angels. And finally, God is on a journey from invisibility to manifestation. God is on a journey from being invisible, unknown, to being manifested in us, the church. Every step we make in maturity is a step taken to visibilize God. God is on a journey from being invisible to being manifested through us, his church. And whenever we personally take a step of maturity in growing in God, every step that we grow is one step taken to put God's nature on display. I'm done. Quick summary. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why? God created everything that exists. We existed in God before anything was created. God took us out from himself and he brought us forth. He didn't want us just to be in him because he wanted us to be the object of his love. He brought us to be before him so he could bestow that love upon us. And he wanted us to exist before him as a son existing to a father that puts on his image, his likeness, his glory on display. That's why you were created. You were in God. God brought you out to put his nature on display. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privileged position you have brought us into. You have not created us to fend for ourselves, to be disconnected from you. But you have brought us out, Father God, to have fellowship with you, to experience your love, to put your nature on display. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of being your representatives. It is a scary privilege, but we know that your grace is sufficient to help us. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you as the helper amongst us. That when we're struggling to put God's nature on display, you are there to empower us, to strengthen us, to guide us, that we can fulfill what we need to do. Father, I pray this morning that you may give each of us a renewed mind. A mind that does not see things contextually, but sees everything through the original intent. That sees everything through your will and your purposes. We thank you for the grace that was released this morning. We pray that this grace may not be taken in vain, but that it may bear fruit, that it may become what it needs to become in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.